Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of the New York Giants, inactive yesterday at the trade deadline, who would have thought that the Giants couldn't find any takers for Evan Neal or Jalin Hyatt? I mean, I don't know. It is a shock, BT. Joe Shane tried to shop Evan Neal and Jalin Hyatt, according to reports. No takers. What a surprise. For me, this is a great thing that the Giants didn't do anything, and I hope it means that Joe Shane is on his way out. I would have had a freeze. I told you that.
Yeah, you did.
I'm not trying to be harsh here. I'm just trying to get this team to be a winning football team. They had 4 years. They had more than enough time. Joe Shane has proven that he has no idea what he's doing, how to build a team. Unfortunately for Brian Daboll, who I think has been the better of the two. If I had to pick Elimination Island, I would roll with Daboll more so than I would Joe Shane. But I think it's time that both of them need to go. So I'm glad that the Giants didn't make any moves that can jeopardize their future or enhance next year or impact next year in any way, shape, or form when I fully expect that neither of these two, Shane or Daboll, will be around to see it.
You want to keep the cupboards full. So, you know, whomever you bring in, if you bring in somebody, and I am of the same mindset, I've established this a while ago, that I would replace both men, with all due respect. You don't want the job to, you know, look less appealing in terms of, well, you know, you threw some pretty important draft capital out the window here as guys were trying to save their behind. So whomever is going to be lined up to take the reins of this franchise and build around Jackson Dart, you want the full arsenal, and you go from there. And you know what's crazy? Just to throw the Jets and the Giants, although I would have liked to see a little receiver, I did say that, for Jackson Dart, but I obviously get it, especially if it was a mandate from Mara. So,
which we don't know. I'm hoping that that's the case, but either way, they didn't do anything.
Did nothing here. So the energy is completely flipped. A month ago, Jet fans were downtrodden. Giant fans were pumped up because the Giants were winning a little bit. And you had the Cam Scataboo Dart rise. Here we go. And then it's flipped because now the reality of the doldrums of the Giants season is once again upon us here. Cam's hurt. They're not going to win a lot of games. Now the Jet fans feeling enthused because of the moves yesterday. And I ask you, for all the and I love what the Jets did yesterday. For all the things that the Jets did yesterday and everything that has, you know, defined the Giants so far this year, right now, which team would you rather be? Who's got the brighter future? To me, it's simple.
I think the clear direction is with the Jets right now. Now, that does not mean that they're going to have more success because the one known commodity out of both teams is Jackson Dart.
Boom.
He's the known commodity.
So to me, my answer is the Giants.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean, what if they keep Joe Shane next year? Like, I'm still not sure they're going to do the right thing and fire both Shane and Daboll. And then I don't have any faith that they're going to hire the right people. Also, are they rebuilding? Is it a clean start rebuild? Or is it, okay, well, you have Jackson Dart, you have some players on defense, figure this out. Like, they're kind of in no man's land in some way, shape, or form. Now, they have the quarterback, so it depends on what you value. I just at least like, if I look at both organizations, I can see clearly the Jets have direction. They are rebuilding. They have been decisive. They are going to start to try to build this thing the right way in year one.
Mm-hmm.
So they have some runway here. The Giants are at the end of a tenure with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, but they have the franchise quarterback.
Yes, and so they've already secured the one asset that has been incredibly evasive, not only for the Jets, but think about all the other teams around the NFL that take these massive swings. How's Cam Ward looking down in Tennessee? So, yeah, that's why I posed the question, because I think it's an interesting question, because I do philosophically, I love what the Jets are doing. I love what they did yesterday, whereas with the Giants, you know, there's a lot of things I don't like, and we've hit this conversation a million ways sideways, but the one thing that you need, because without it, it's been proven over history, there's like 75% of the Super Bowl champions have had Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I'm not saying Dart's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, but you got to start somewhere, and at least there's real intrigue there, and he has great promise. So that's why it's not an easy question. I could actually see both sides.
I would probably say, me personally, I think it's more important. Now, I'm not going to choose the Jets in this regard because I'm not sure of what Muji and Glenn are yet. But I believe it's more important to have the right general manager and head coach combination building a culture and a structure and a foundation. I think that's more important than having a singular franchise quarterback or a quarterback with potential to be the franchise quarterback, because I've seen other scenarios where franchise quarterbacks have failed before.
Yeah,
guys with potential. We've seen that in New York. So.
Yeah, that's true to an extent. I mean, but the one thing that the franchise quarterback does is it lessens the pain of other mistakes, meaning because you could just elevate so many things around you that you could have an average GM, but if you have a great quarterback, you could have a team that's going to win 10 or 11 games, where if you have a C-minus quarterback and a great GM, and I'm not even talking about the Jets, I'm just saying in general, just a general thought around the NFL, you know, if you have a substandard quarterback and the general manager puts good players around him, but the quarterback can't deliver and elevate, it almost offsets the GM.
It could be a little bit of a chicken or the egg thing, but I look at the Broncos as an example. Look, see, to me...
Boy, you love these Broncos. Well, we got to get you a Broncos
jersey,
man.
It's one example.
He is all Denvered out, this guy.
It's one example, but to me, the good general manager-head coach combination will find a quarterback. You're not desperate to say, oh my God, thank God we have Jackson Dart. How would we ever survive?
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of other football teams around the NFL that are going to survive and have success without Jackson Dart. A lot more success than the Giants are going to have this year with Jackson Dart, because they're set up in a better spot. So whether it's Denver and Peyton going there and getting rid of Russell Wilson, identifying Bo Nix, who the Giants passed on and many others passed on, turning him into a playoff caliber quarterback, whether it's Andy Reid going to the Chiefs and turning Alex Smith into a solid winning quarterback before they selected Mahomes and set up the structure and foundation, like there are plenty of other examples to it. You know, the Vikings, whether you know Sam Darnold last year, the Seahawks setting up with Sam Darnold, like we've seen other teams, the Bucks with Baker Mayfield, that same quarterback, the great quarterback, failed in other spots, but yet the structure and foundation that he was put in Tampa has him succeeding more. So I understand the importance of a franchise quarterback, and I'm not trying to minimize Jackson Dart. I believe it's more important to have the proper structure with GM and head coach.
I hear what you're saying. All I'm saying, like, think about... Even just forget about the Jets and the picks and the names and the Giants and Dart. Like, I think it really does come down to how good you think Jackson Dart's going to be. And I happen to think that Jackson Dart has a chance to be great. That's my opinion on the player. What he could grow into if the Giants do right by him and he stays healthy, I think his ceiling is ridiculously high. So... while I love, there's so many, I can almost talk myself into, well, but the Jets have 9,000 options to get better. But if I'm just going to look and bet on one of the two franchises, right? And this is not to minimize my enthusiasm for the Jets.
Right.
I would place my money, because I think it's the smart money, on the team already with the quarterback rather than the team
Understood.
That has a million assets hoping to get one. That's all I'm saying.
Understood. But I think the Jets are in a better, more sound position overall.
I agree with that.
Outside of that. And think about another example I just thought of, the Chargers as well. They had the franchise quarterback with Herbert, but it really didn't mean anything until they got the head coach with Harbaugh. Like, the Giants could have a great opportunity here. Hard to find a franchise quarterback. Seems like they found one. Now they need to make the difficult decision of, do they move on from the guy who selected, or the guys who selected that franchise quarterback? Do they get the right guys in here? And then how the hell do they build around it? Because even with that franchise quarterback, they still haven't been able to win football games.
Here's the best part. They don't have to worry about the offensive line.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when they got Darnold and when they had Zach.
The Jets you're talking about.
I'm talking about the Jets. And obviously Eli at the end, you know, before Andrew Thomas, clearly. Like, at least that is one thing that you can bypass. Not that you don't want to find another guard or whatever, but you got the left side on lock from last year with Olu. You got the right side on lock this year with Membude. You've got, I think you've got tight end one with Mason Taylor. I know you've got tight end one with Garrett Wilson. I do think that they extend Breece Hall based on the new financial climate. The money they saved, they can now do that. So I think you've got a running back in the future. So as you, whomever the quarterback is, you're going to bring him into a vastly different circumstance. And really, it's the circumstances of previous Jet teams that destroyed Darnold.
Correct.
And, you know, and Geno.
It wasn't the quarterbacks. Drake May, by the way, another example. Now, I know year two from rookie season is different, but there's no way if the Patriots kept Gerard Mayo, they'd be as good as they are right now without Vrabel, even with Drake May in year two.
Drake May's good. He's going to be a star. But I agree, Mayo was a mess.
Well, mess. I'm just saying.
And so Vrabel's really good.
So it's important to have the proper structure around them. BT, but this is a fascinating conversation. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Jack is in Hazlet, New Jersey. What's up, Jack?
Hey, Sal. I would like to hear about how you think the Jets have more promise over the Giants, whether Jackson Dart is a franchise quarterback or not, when the best thing the Jets have to offer is just trading away their two seemingly best draft picks with Aaron Glenn jumping around like a buffoon on the sideline.
See, now, Jack, why are you so sensitive? First of all, I didn't say that they have more promise. What I said was I value, and I don't know if Muji or Glenn are going to be the guys. I value, A, the direction that the Jets have chose. B, the combination, not the Jets specifically, but just in general, the combination of a successful general manager and head coach more than I do just the individual franchise quarterback. But I don't know how you take that personally as if I attack you and every Giant fan. Why are you so sensitive? And he hung up. I mean, just to answer the question, you got to offend Aaron Glenn. Like, I never said that the Jets had more promise. I'm just trying to decipher which one I value more. And I believe it's more important to have the proper structure with the general manager and head coach. And I'm not even saying the Jets have that.
Yeah.
They at least have a direction and they chose their guys. I would not have. I'm on the record saying I would not have gone with a first-time head coach here. But now that they're here, let them do what they need to do. Whereas with the Giants, the only thing you look to that organization with right now with any hope or belief is the quarterback. Now, that's a big deal, but it's the only thing that I would trust. The defense is god-awful. I don't trust the head coach. I can't stand the general manager. The structure of the organization has been a mess for years.
Like, stadium stinks. What else we got?
Is Jackson Dart going to be Superman and be the savior? I've seen that fail before with plenty of other quarterbacks as good, if not better, than Jackson Dart.
And now you look at the Jets' ability to rebuild this year with the two first-round picks this year, the two second-round picks, $120 million in cap space. You know, and the other thing, too, we talk about how Muji very smartly set up the contract of Sauce Gardner, where now the Colts, because it was only $12 or $13 million bonus, so that was very beneficial to the Jets. And again, I don't know if it was built with the intention of looking to proactively get rid of Gardner, or in the event that he wanted to be able to maybe trade him, this would be more appealing to the Jets to downstream not be as committed to the money that now the Colts will have to be on the hook for. The other thing he did, though, and you have to, I think, work this into the conversation on a much smaller level. Justin Fields is due $10 million next season. $10 million in the NFL for a quarterback is about the equivalent of a guy coming out of the bullpen who's your 10th pitcher on a 12-man staff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not consequential to the finances of the NFL. So,
which should also help you, whether you take a quarterback or not,
because you can keep Justin, too, correct. And he's a good teammate.
Whether to start the season
correct.
Before you transition.
Correct.
Or just say, well, we're still not there yet. We don't love the quarterback or what it would take to get up to get the quarterback we love, and we like the draft next year better. We could stand pat for another year with Justin Fields as your starter. Like, it's not the worst thing in the world during a rebuild.
Correct. I think it's pretty clear that Muji came in with a very layered thought process. It wasn't just, let me get this quarterback and figure it out. No, let me get this guy because I think it makes sense for us now. And if it doesn't work out down the road, we can get rid of him. The finances will not be punitive. We will be able to pivot to this and to that and to this and to that. It's a very clear plan.
I think Muji's got it.
I'm feeling good about this guy. I'm feeling good.
Early on, that we don't know, and there's a long way to go, but
based
on the circumstances he took over and the way that he's handled everything so far and the moves that they've made, I'm a fan. Like, he's done more to me than anything that we've seen with the Jets. Now, that's not saying much, but there's something about him with a calm, disciplined demeanor, with intelligence as well, that he could be the guy to turn this. Forget about the head coach. There's so much attention on Glenn. I think Muji's got it. BT.
Ooh,
I really do think
sing
so.
Let's go.
It takes balls to make the move that he did.
Yep.
Under the circumstances with the Jets to get rid of those players. So not only the sound, lesser explosive moves that he's made that
like
hit,
the Brownlees and the other things I've talked about, finding a punter.
Even the Fields thing. And I can mock Fields all we want. Like, I don't think he can throw. I don't think he's very good. But I'm not expecting them to win games here. They're trying to build something here.
Yeah.
So the fact that he would make even the Sauce Gardner deal. knowing that he made that deal, just leaving the possibility open for, hey, if I need to move him, this is the type of deal that's going to benefit us if we can trade him.
They could have been on the hook for $30 million guaranteed, and the Colts wouldn't have to absorb that much more money instead.
Right.
Now, again, if Gardner goes there and balls out, and watch, he's going to probably have a pick six the first game. You know something crazy is going to happen. But, like, if he plays very well, then the Colts will happily absorb the money. But he did it with a mindset that was able to look at two different things. The now, if it works out, and tomorrow, if it doesn't. And that shows a depth and an aptitude we have not seen for many GMs for the Jets. That's for damn sure.
Or for the Giants in recent years. Not wasting any time either. Will is calling from Wilton, Connecticut. What's up, Will?
What up, Will?
Hey, boys. What's going on? What's going on?
Hey,
I'm super late for class, so I'll try to spit this out quickly. Yeah, I was listening to Evan and Tiki yesterday, and Evan was upset about, you know, moving on from these guys and having to replace them. But in my opinion, they're replaceable. I mean, that's just the reality. You look at guys all around the league that are getting traded for that want to get out, that want to go to new spots. In my opinion, the most important asset you can have is a quarterback on a rookie contract and having space and having money to do what you want. And I don't think Bo Nix is that good of a quarterback, but he came into his spot like where he has a great team around him. I mean, albeit he does have Sean Payton as head coach and a reliable organization, but if you can build like that, and like right now, I'm optimistic for the Jets. They can make some swings. And if you look at the upcoming draft for 2026 and 2027 with the quarterbacks, like there could potentially be four or five first rounders in there. So I'm just really excited for them. I think they made the right choice. Let's get out there, let's get a guy, and then let's get some pieces around him with the money they have.
That's the plan. That
Thank
is the
will.
Plan. And the plans, you know, I think that there will be some Jet fans over the offseason where they're like in March when free agency starts, they're going to want the Jets to spend $80 million in free agent money. No, but again, that's the old mindset. Just because you have it doesn't mean you flush it down the chute, because generally, Tiki always says this, and he's right. When you get somebody in free agency, you're really obviously overpaying, because part of what you're paying is for past performance, particularly in football. I'm not talking about somebody like a Juan Soto or a Kyle Tucker or somebody like that. But in football, you generally do that. It's generally bad business. So I think the ability now to save that money and devote the resources eventually to a quarterback or try to entice a team right now that we're not thinking about. And I threw Burrow out there, again, not to just do wacky, you know, crazy, non-reality-based radio, but I say that because they are now able to sit down at every table and have a conversation about every massive power-broking player in the NFL.
Think about it this way, too. They could have gotten a quarterback year one. They could have traded for a quarterback or selected a quarterback with their first pick. Muji was disciplined, knowing, I would assume that part of his thought process is, maybe he didn't love some of the quarterbacks available, but part of the thought process is, I'm not bringing a quarterback in to this right now. Think of how much of a disaster that could have been. Whoever, whether it was Sanders, even Jackson Dart now, maybe that wouldn't have been as much of a disaster, but they could have had Jackson Dart. They chose to go in a different way, build this thing the right way, and let things play out. So if you were chasing the quarterback because you need the quarterback, first-year head coach, let's bring him in, it would have been the same setup as the prior regimes that failed.
Yeah.
And now they're in a spot where they could have some success, to a point where I'm not even forcing the issue with the quarterback this year. Eventually, they're going to have to get one way or another, whether it's whoever, Burrow's available via trade, whether there's one in the draft, but they're not chasing it. They're letting the options play out, putting themselves in a position to pounce, kind of like what Leon Rose and the Knicks did when he first built this thing and started to build this the right way. Stockpiling those picks and cleaning up some of the money, the finances. And
get
then
some effort players around Randall.
Build the foundation with Tibbs in here and Randall taking a shot and developing certain guys. Okay, we're building it up. Now you get to a level in year two. We're going to need more talent. Let's go, obviously wait for Brunson to become a free agent. You land him. Like, that's how turnarounds happen. We just saw it with the Knicks, and maybe now you're seeing with the Jets. There are no guarantees, and I get the aspect of Evan who was upset that you... Look, when you're in a position as a franchise that you have to trade some of your best players, and the Jets have been down this road plenty of times before, Revis, Adams in recent memory, whatever, that position sucks.
Keyshawn back in the day, although that worked out.
It's a crappy position to be in. You should never have to be in a position... We see it with baseball all the time. Like, if you're the Tigers and now you're in a spot where you have to trade Schoolboy because you can't afford them, like, that's a fail. The Red Sox with Betts, those are fails. So I understand that. However, you can't look back. And right now, the best that the Jets could do is, in fact, to move on from these guys. I know it sucks to be in this position, but to not be in this position again, you've got to rebuild it the right way. And at least showing decisiveness and direction immediately in year one, to me, are signs that it's the right path for the Jets.
I don't have an ounce of regret. And more importantly, because you know that sometimes I get too wrapped up in this, I don't have an ounce of sentimentality. See ya. I mean, see ya. No disrespect, Hugh. I mean, you really haven't done much the last couple of years in terms of getting to the quarterback. No disrespect, Gardner. I mean, you were good the first year and really good, and then you haven't done a damn thing since. That's it. So to me, what, like, you think about drafting, all right? Drafting. What is the key to drafting? Well, you got to identify the right player. That's obvious. But to me, it's even before that. To be a good drafter, and the great franchises do that, you've got to mitigate risk, meaning you've got to increase the odds of you doing the right thing. One of the ways you do that is by not being desperate. If you pigeonhole yourself into, we have to draft a quarterback this year, and even if we don't love him, we're going to force ourselves to like him because, damn it, we need a quarterback. Well, now you're not mitigating risk. You're doing the opposite. That's why, as you said, and as we know, well, you can take a quarterback in 2027 when you have three first-round picks.
Also,
mitigating risk.
Think about what they kept. The Jets kept Breece Hall. Right now, they would have traded him maybe for a three, but they still kept Breece Hall, and I have no idea what the extension is going to look like for him or whatever. But
about 11 or so,
they kept Breece Hall, a plus running back.
Yes,
they kept their star receiver in Garrett Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line is something they've been consciously building.
It's good.
What does that lead to?
That leads to when the young quarterback gets here, there's now already an established wall around him. And it's like, okay, young man, you don't have to be great week one. You don't have to save us. Just be solid and we'll pull you through.
Bingo! Something they haven't had. A top receiver, not to mention the young tight end with potential.
Love him.
The offensive line and a running back. That to me seems like a pretty good recipe for success for whichever quarterback you do bring in whenever you bring him in.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I got caught by this AI. You know, the AI is everywhere now. I was telling you, my wife shows me this stuff. I'm like, that's not real. You got some woman bear hugging a crocodile, whatever it may be.
Oh, you know, real fast, you know what I saw yesterday? You know what I saw yesterday, speaking of the AI? Yeah. I saw an alligator actually delivering a little baby by its diaper to the door of the home that the baby wandered away from.
Right, okay, right. And then that's something my wife will show me and be like, you believe this in Florida?
I kind of did. I'm like, it looked real.
Yeah, well, that's how I got nabbed. There was one on the subway where multiple people were on New York City subway, and it was just flooded with rats.
Hey.
Dude, flooded with rats. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then people were saying it's AI. But
I mean, that's believable.
No, that one, it was AI because they were pointing out some of the things in the video. But, yeah, I mean, this AI stuff is wild now.
It's actually dangerous. I mean, it's really...
I doubt everything. Even sports talk stuff. Like, I'll see somebody in my hand that he didn't say that.
The Muji stuff is real, right?
I think so.
All right, good. Me too.
I mean, who knows what to believe anymore with that? We'll have a little three random questions coming up at 11:40, 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls here. Matt is in Austining. What's up, Matt?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First thing is, I'm not a Glenn fan, so obviously that's a conversation for next year. Looks like he'll be here. I'm good with the trade, but like you guys touched on, that's only half the job.
What do we got going on there, Matt? What are you doing right now?
Running? Hiking?
I'm on the trail. Well, I'm walking.
Okay.
Yeah, boy.
Getting no steps in.
Staying
we respect
healthy.
It. All right.
Yeah. Well,
so you're not a Glenn fan. Go ahead.
Not a Glenn fan. I mean, I just don't like his – really, I don't like his post-game demeanor. But that being said, I'm good with the trades. Let's just see what they do. And you guys touched on it, right? That's only 50% of the job. Is being getting stockpiling the picks.
Yep.
Now they got to go out and do something.
Yeah, we know that.
And hopefully, right, and that's what I'm saying. You touched on it. Hopefully next year, by week four, I'm not scheduling tee times on Sunday like I normally do.
I don't know. Fall golf is pretty fun.
Yeah. Well, if you have something to watch.
Yeah, I get you.
You know, it makes up for it. But the other thing is, I don't think they're going to do anything going forward with Fields.
Well, no, I don't think anybody really disagrees with that. Thanks for the call, Matt. Have a good workout. And I appreciate you listening to BT and Sal while you get those calories down.
Dove took issue with that. Dove, you have an issue with him calling from the treadmill?
What?
Well, it sounds like bad. If you're listening on the radio, it's hard to hear.
We heard him.
Yes, you did. But you see Sal? He's got his hands over his ears trying to hear it over the steps.
Okay.
I appreciate him listening. Appreciate him calling. All that. However, if he's on the air, sound good.
Well, I mean, you're on the air and you don't sound good.
Well, that's fine behind the scenes.
All right. That was too easy, Dove. I'm messing. Now, let's be fair to the guy. Maybe he called. And let's face it. I mean, you know, it's not easy to get on the BT and Sal show. People want to talk to us.
I'm maximizing your time. I have no issue with that.
Yeah, well, maybe he called up and maybe he wasn't on the treadmill by the time we got around based on the call bank. And when he called, maybe he's like, all right, I've been waiting for 46 minutes and I've got a meeting or I've got a Zoom or I've got this with the kids. And this was his window to get the workout in. His intention wasn't to sound not good on the radio.
Multitasking.
He just got busy.
Multitasking. I respect it. I have no issue with that. Dove's so harsh on the callers all the time. All right. So anyway, his point is, look, I can understand you not being a fan of Glenn, and I would just be patient with the Justin Fields thing. Justin Fields is a quarterback for now, a stopgap quarterback while they build this thing out. It's year one. Think about what the Giants just did. See, and that's why where people don't want to give Woody Johnson credit. Do you think Mara had his hand in the decision to retain Daniel Jones?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I definitely do.
Me too. Yes. And that was a problem. We said it at the time. A new regime should come in and they should say, I don't want anything that was here from the leftover regime. Like, you shouldn't be hiring me to maximize Daniel Jones. And I think that that was part of the process with Brian Daboll. And it failed multiple ways. They had some success. That led to extending Jones. Like, it was just too much meddling, whether it's from the owner, the prior regime's players, and it leads to a disaster. And you never had a clean start from Shane and Daboll until year four. And by then, it's obviously too late. Whereas with the Jets, in year one, who cares who the quarterback is? You try to go out there and be competitive, but you're really trying to rebuild the infrastructure of this franchise that has sucked for 15 years.
That's the key, you know, and to do that, you've got to be bold and you've got to be forward thinking and you've got to be receptive to doing something that is going to get criticized by some and not by me. I love it, as you guys know. Here's the other thing, though. Now the Jets don't have to do anything that they don't want to do. Well, what do you mean by that? It's very simple. Because now they're going to control these draft boards for the next couple of years, they don't have to reach on a player that they like rather than loving. And I think that that's where they've gotten into a lot of trouble over the years. And if you go back to what we were talking about before, if you missed it, free Odyssey app, anything about the show, obviously any day, is the key to drafting is to at least put yourself in a position where you're mitigating risk. You've got to identify who you like, and then you've got to increase the odds of having access to the players that you do like. And right now, the Jets have that with the abundance of first and second round picks.
Ronald is in Inwood. What's up, Ronald? What's on your mind today?
What's on my mind today is that Sidney is single now for Huff. Yup, because this incident happened on TMZ where she had an argument with her boyfriend. And she said something about, oh, you don't know what I'm thinking, something of that matter. And I heard that Huff got on the show and you guys got on the newspaper because of Huff, because y'all did that interview with Sweeney.
We were in the newspaper? Now, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. I think he wasn't on that day, but yeah.
You're talking about the interview, and thank you for the call, Ronald. We appreciate the insight.
I heard about a lot of me on that, by the way.
Look who's wide awake all of a sudden.
Yeah, no wonder why you're moving to the top of the board right there. So last week, time? Actually, we might have had her on.
A week ago.
Sydney Sweeney was on the show. Since then, she's been getting attention everywhere. It has nothing to do with the show, but just like...
yeah, don't because of us.
No, she's on her PR tour for the new movie.
Yeah.
But she was the next day. She was on the pregame show for the World Series. She was at the World Series and Ohtani thing. And I have been now paying more attention to her.
Me too.
And reading more about her. And I guess she was in this... Scooter Braun, is that who she was dating?
Yeah.
And something was going on with that. So I didn't know that she was single now. But why is she single for Huff? Huff is married.
I don't know.
He's taken.
Although I think he's free this weekend, right? Huff, another Disney trip coming up?
I have very much a happily married man, but I'm always open to the idea.
But, ooh, that's going to get you in trouble, my friend.
Dude. Be careful.
Even I wouldn't cross that line.
I think, yeah. I mean, Sal's wife listens sometimes, and she's cool with it. Same with me. I think Nicole, if you say that, man, she's...
Well, I would clearly ask her permission. You. Like, don't we have, like,
I gotta be honest.
Don't we have hall passes? Or no?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
But if I did, I personally would not be burning it on Sydney Sweeney.
Me too.
You kind of alluded to that. Yeah, I'm not trying to disparage Sydney Sweeney in any way, shape, or form. I mean, she's obviously got a lot that she brings to the table.
She does.
We know what we're talking about.
Hold on a second, real quick.
Yeah.
You're telling me you can't adjust the hall pass as needed? Like, you say you...
If you get a hall pass, not multiple.
It depends on the arrangement.
You get one hall pass.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Sydney Sweeney lands in your lap. You're telling me you're not going to be like, you know what? Let me change and update my hall pass.
It depends on the marriage. I mean, my hall pass is Jennifer Aniston.
Mm.
So, you know, although, yeah.
I've got
too
many
to update that at some point here. But if Jennifer Aniston comes my way, then I think I'm good. Because I identified years ago, I mean, in like 2008,
does hall pass mean like...
Means you do whatever you want.
No. But I mean, is it just like a one-off, or are we talking like, you know, dating? You know?
Well, not dating, dude. To me, it's a one-off.
I don't have time to date.
See, but I like that. Like, I'd like to have the hall pass, but then I'd like to cuddle and watch a movie.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Netflix and chill?
Yeah. I like the Netflix
and chill. You can't bait and switch.
With Jessica Alba. I mean, I don't want to just have it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to update the hall pass. I'm going to be saying when Jennifer Aniston's 71, she's going to be the hall pass. No, I'm good. I'm going to have to update this.
I will say, I mean, obviously there's a lot of appeal to Sydney Sweeney. As we said to her, like, she's one of the most desirable women in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying if I had a hall pass, she wouldn't be on it.
Who is it?
Well, Alba would be.
Oh, definitely Alba.
Well, I mean, Halle Berry. I mean, there's a couple others that.
Halle today? You got to ask the question. Halle today?
Yeah.
Or Flintstones Halle Berry.
No, I'm going like realistic right now.
Oh.
Marissa Tomei. I mean.
Today? Marissa Tomei?
Absolutely.
I mean, beautiful,
dude.
But that's the whole piss?
No, I told you Alba. How many more you want to give you at the top of my head?
I just want to hear the list.
Yeah.
I want to hear the depth chart. It's got to be more than quarterback one.
Yeah.
Got to have QB2 and QB3.
Megan Thee Stallion. I mean, I got a lot. I'm locked and loaded here. I got a lot of
53 woman roster for Sal.
This is Sal previously to the previous regime with the Jets. It's just Zach Wilson the whole way. Never going to change.
What do you mean, with Jessica Alba?
Yeah, just exactly.
Hard to knock Alba, especially been following her on Instagram. Like, it's a new thing every day. And then she gives these positive life quotes. Like,
yeah, she does come across as very, I mean, she's beautiful, but I love her as well.
Yeah.
Very friendly. You turned me on to her Instagram. I was on it the other day next to you for about the entire commercial break.
What I'm saying. So, like,
still looking good.
I don't want just a whole pass. Like, maybe Sydney Sweeney, in fact, would be a better whole pass. Like, you know, you do what you need to do for a day, and then
you
move on.
Yeah, but you know what? Now, let's be honest with ourselves here. I say this. All right. So part of the consideration is you still got to be able to handle it. So do you go for the older woman who you know you can handle, or
I don't know,
the younger woman who, let's face it, we're not kids anymore.
Mm. Well, exactly. I don't know if I can handle either, honestly.
I think at this point in our careers, quote unquote, we can handle anything, no?
Yeah. Right? I think I can.
Hoff, you're not even going to handle your wife when you get home and explain the segment to her. You're going to be in big trouble.
Well, we're going to delete this from the record somehow.
Yeah, okay.
Dove, help.
When'd she leave for Disney?
Friday. No, Saturday morning. Saturday
all the kids
morning.
Gone? Just you?
Yeah, I'm in Chicago.
That's right.
It's not going to be great.
Would she be your whole pass, Sydney Sweeney?
If she fell into my lap, yes, that day.
That's not the question.
Not fall
that's
into not your lap. Question. Like, obviously,
I think it needs to be an open-ended hole pass. I don't think I can just focus on it. I don't think I can just do one.
Right, but if you do one, that's it. It's gone. That's the idea of the hole
pass.
I would
use it up. The likelihood of Sydney Sweeney falling into my lap would be highly unlikely. So if it did happen, yes, I would use it up.
It does tie into sports. Like, you don't usually get to pick two franchise
You get one draft pick there.
That's it.
Is it Sydney Sweeney or somebody else?
Wait, hold a second, though.
Like, I'm going with Alba, and I feel comfortable about that decision.
As you should.
That's
good. An Andrew Luck right there. That's a quarterback.
Andrew
hopefully,
Luck.
Andrew stays Luck. Healthy.
Maybe Peyton Manning or Tom Brady.
I gotcha.
Like, you know, come on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but what? Let me ask you a question, though. What if your draft pick doesn't enter the draft that year, and you got to go somewhere else?
If you get the draft pick, and she demands a trade to a different team?
Well, then I'll listen. Maybe it's better to trade her then.
Ruscota.
Get some assets.
Brian Ruscota just chimed in. His whole pass, any random cheerleader from the SEC.
Now, that's an interesting Instagram account to follow. When they show up at the sorority house day one and they just do these coordinated dances.
Get us to break there. Before we get fired.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On The Fan.
Three random questions sponsored by the Rothenberg Law Firm. Injured? Visit injurylawyer.com. Number one. Do you think, well, me, I was going to say anybody, but me in particular here because I've been having an issue with this, do I need to leave a tip at a smoothie place?
The hell out of here. For what?
Dude, what? Every day.
These tips are getting out of hand. Finish your thought, then I'm gonna rail tipping. Well, no, I can't stand that.
But that's kind of the point here. Every day, first of all, the smoothie itself is like 15, 16 bucks. I'm like, this is absurd. I'm just trying to be healthy. I don't have time to make it when I'm leaving the house. Like, I only could do it a couple times a week because really, you add it up.
They are
like,
expensive. You get absurd. A little boost of this and a little shot of that.
$16 a day if you're thinking about it. Right. So I go in there, and I want the smoothie, sets me up right, whatever it may be. But every day, and then the person's looking at me, and I do the thing on the, and it comes up, leave a tip. And I hit no because I'm like,
yeah, here's a tip. Don't charge me $16 or I'm not coming back.
I don't know, but I do feel guilty. And then I start thinking, are they doing something bad to the smoothie? Or am I a bad person anyway? So
if you don't tip?
Give me your thought on this.
Okay, so the first thought is get yourself an industrial blender. All right? No, really, we have one.
Right.
And that's like where the kale, and I'll throw a bottle of water, kale, banana, strawberry, a little dollop of peanut butter. Like, and it really is good. It's healthy, and it fills you. It's satisfying. So that's number one. Number two, I'm a great tipper when I feel that you earned a tip.
Over 20%?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so never below 20. Never.
30?
No, I mean, that's a little bit exorbitant.
25? You said great tipper. I'm just trying to figure out what that is exactly.
Well, I mean, 30%. I mean, first of all, 30% is crazy. 30% is a lot.
I mean, but that would be a great tip.
All right. Well, I think some people think 20% is a good tip.
Isn't 20 the standard?
No, not in the eyes. For me, it's always been.
Okay, right.
Now, I remember the first time I ever saw somebody get a tip was actually at Shea Stadium. And my father would slip the ushers a couple of bucks when they remember when they'd go you go to your seat like they wipe down it down.
That? Yeah, they still do that now.
I haven't had that done for me in a while. Not that I need it, but either way, like they'd actually the old timers like they would wipe it down. Hey, here's a couple of bucks. So I'm very in tune with that. The car wash tip, pizza guy tip, you know, certain tip. But like if you just do your job, and I'm not trying to sound callous, and I'm definitely not cheap. But if you just do your job and you don't go out of the boundaries of what is expected, then why am I going to tip you? For what?
I know, but it's now, like, even if you go to a ball game, it says on the screen, I could order whatever food I'm getting.
I know what it says.
Leave a tip. Now, I believe if you're getting served, like if you order food out to come to your house, a delivery.
Always tip. I always tip cash.
100%. Like, you got to tip. I don't do the cash all the time.
I'll do that.
Depends if I have it or not, or I'll just add it to whatever the total is. You know, dog grooming, we had to do that the other day. Like, that's probably a tip. Any kind of grooming service.
Kids get a haircut when my wife takes my daughter, but I'll take my son. Yeah, of course. Here's $10.
I guess parking garage. Is that a tip situation?
I don't do that, but I do like a Christmas gift because I park every day.
Right.
So I'll take if like yeah that's actually a good point. If you live in a building with a doorman. Like my sister does, and I did at various points in my life.
Too.
You know, you take care of them around the holidays, and for sure, yes. Security guards,
man,
you want to do post office.
Okay. Yeah, yep. But like in every day, if I'm going to the store to order a smoothie in this particular case,
no.
I don't want to be a bad person, but I don't like the pressure of having me feel like I'm the bad guy because I'm saying no to a tip where in reality, like I'm paying for. You to give me the damn smoothie.
I know.
What special service am I getting that I need to tip here?
There is none, which is why you shouldn't feel bad about it, and which is why you shouldn't tip. I mean, unless you're independently wealthy. I mean, these prices are out of control.
Even if you were independently wealthy.
You still shouldn't feel pressure to do it.
Right. You should tip on your own volition, saying, you know what? You did a good job. Also, the tip should be based on the quality service you get. It shouldn't just be an automatic, like, I go to a restaurant and I get crappy service, but I feel obligated to leave 20%. Part of it is you should really have to earn, otherwise you're setting a bad standard and precedent here.
I agree with that as well. And before we move on, the one thing that I can't stand is you do see this a lot on social media where people will put, 30 cents on a tip. That's just so disrespectful. I don't care how rude you are. You've got to earn. This is still, you do something for me, I will recognize it, and I will tip you accordingly.
I think usually I go with the floor, like, let's say at a restaurant, 20%.
Yeah.
Even if they're bad, I'd be like, all right, 20%, and I won't come back anymore. But if they're good, then the higher the tip
will go. Here's the other way I will give much more than 20%. Like, this happened when we went to Rails. Frank hooked us up a little bit, or if we go to a place that might recognize me or whatever.
Oh, well, that's...
Then
you're obligated in a different way.
Then you do it because you got to save face. No. I'm just kidding. But if somebody... maybe you go to a nice restaurant, a chef. Oh, hey, big fan. Hey, here's a bottle of wine. Well, now you got to go out of your way to really... Then you might tip 50%.
Right, understood. Yeah. All right, number two. Would you ever clone a pet?
No, I saw what Tom Brady did. I think that's weird.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's not an exact...
No.
Clone or replica of, you're not getting your deceased pet back.
No, like, you're not.
You can't.
It's going to look like it, but it might be a very different personality. Can you clone personality?
But that's what I'm saying. You could also go get a pet. Like my poor McGriff. Now, he was a mutt and he passed away years ago. If I could get a dog very similar to him, I would maybe consider it. Or Maddox that we have now. Like if Maddox, you know, when he dies, do we get another similar dog? Maybe I could get another Golden Doodle. That's what Maddox is. McGriff was a must, so I couldn't even tell you where to begin with that. But I could get another Golden Doodle, and then, okay, well, it's a different dog. There's no need to clone your same pet because it's not going to be the same pet. Just go get the same breed.
It's a little weird. That was a little weird, right?
That is weird. I think that's a bad look.
Yeah.
Cloning a pet?
A bad look. And, you know, and again, I was staying within my realm because, you know, I don't know all the science behind it. I don't pretend to. But it seems like it's it's a precedent that I'm not necessarily looking to run down.
Yeah, like at what point? I mean, if you clone humans, maybe it'd be a little different because...
Would it be? I don't know.
If like my father's dead, right? If you could figure out a way to clone him, now obviously I'm just talking total hypothetical. Yeah, it'd be cool to maybe bring some version of him back.
Yeah.
I can't go to the store and get anything like that. Whereas I could go find a dog, whether you adopt a dog or go buy one, that is similar to my deceased pet.
Yes, No, I get it. I don't think I would do that at all. I wouldn't even think about doing that. And the other thing I'm starting to see now with AI, and this is a little freaky, it's also interesting enough where I could see why some people really like it. I saw a picture of a grandmother. It was probably from the 1940s, 1950s, and it was a young boy. I think it was up in the Bronx where they were on their bicycle, and it was a still shot, literally a picture that's 70, 80 years old. And then AI had the influence on it, and then the grandma actually moved and patted the boy on the head.
Right.
And I'm like, would I want to see that imagery come to life of my deceased relatives? And part of me would be like, that would be amazing. A part of me would be like, no, but that's not really real, and that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that one.
Yeah, weird thing there, but you're right with the AI now. Who knows? All right, last one for you. So I went out to dinner Saturday night.
Yeah.
We went with a couple of other couples, and it was nice, whatever, good time. And
couples from the neighborhood?
No, one producer from SNY and his wife, and then their friends who became mutual friends, our realtor who helped sell us the house.
Okay, all right.
Pete Brown and Megan Brown, very nice people. And then Pete Brown, the realtor's husband, decided to pick up the tab.
Nice of Pete Brown.
I know, but I'm thinking like I was not expecting that. I figured we'd do the three-way split.
Of course.
Okay, so now here's the thing. And then you enjoy it and you say, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Whatever, nice dinner. Had a great time.
Yeah.
Now, and here's the question, now I feel obligated to return serve.
Yeah, to reciprocate.
Yeah, but I'd rather have just paid my part then, no strings attached, and we all move on and happy and whatever. But now...
But it's going to equate to the same thing, because think about this. You didn't reach into your pocket. You didn't spend a dime that night. Pete Brown spent it all.
Yes.
Think about it. So now when you take Pete Brown and his wife out, now are you also obligated to take the other couple, or do you just do it for Pete Brown? I would say probably just Pete Brown at that point.
Okay.
Do you like Pete Brown? I hope you do, because you said his name.
He's the guy that was the, I believe, original drummer in the band Wheatus, who had the hit Teenage Dirtbag. I was telling Hoff about this a little bit.
So okay, we knew
met his realtor through. Yeah, I mean, he was giving some stories that were big in Australia, whatever. And his wife was there. He couldn't really go into all the detail of some things we'd like to probably talk about.
For sure.
Anyway, that's how we met them. But I just feel now I like no strings attached after the fact. I'll pay. Let's move on. If you want to reciprocate, if I want to treat you next time, whatever you want to treat me, fine. Mm. I appreciate it, but I don't want.
Was it a big bill?
I mean, probably you get three dinners.
Steakhouse or like sushi? Okay, so steakhouse. So yeah.
I mean, I don't know how big, but there was a couple of bottles of wine.
So it's for three couples, you said?
Yeah.
That's a couple of bottles of wine. I mean, that's got to be a $600-$800 bill. That's pretty steep.
Right?
I would think it's up there. Right. So, all right, now, because the logistics of this matter was the... When the bill comes and there's a group of men, you know, you generally not stereotype that the man's always got to pay for it, but you got to be ready to attack the wallet. Yeah. You got to be ready, right? Was the bill placed in front of him, like directly?
It was in between him or I in the center of the table, and he went to grab it first. And
did
then
you at least show the, let me help you out with that? What'd you say?
After he grabbed it, I went into my wallet to give the card, and he's like, no, I got it.
It's a good move.
I'm like, what are you doing? You got it. Like,
good move. You played it well. What's the problem?
It's a good gesture. The problem is now it's like I owe him. He's not saying this.
I know.
In my mind, I'm like, I don't want to owe anybody anything.
But you make it seem like you owe him because you lost a dime on the Giants. You owe him because you went out to have dinner with the wife. You had a good time.
I don't want
to
owe.
Could I interject
here? Yeah, go ahead, Hoff.
Considering the royalties for Teenage Dirtbag is way more than any of the three of us or four of us or five of us, because Bogus is here now too. We've ever seen?
Yeah.
Has he made that much money?
You don't know him.
But that's not. That shouldn't matter. It's still about principle.
Right. Yeah, principle is he went and did something really nice. That's very kind of you. How was the tour again? Here, I bought your songs too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you not?
We appreciated it. I just felt it was so unnecessary and totally unexpected. Like, this was really our first time out with them to dinner. I just don't want to have, and now I'm in the spot of, like, being the bad guy. I don't mind hanging out with them again.
Yep.
But now what? I got to feel the next time we go, like, oh, yeah, now I got to treat you. Is that, like, a normal thing that normal people do? I don't really do that.
I've obviously done that. I mean, I did it Bogus just well. I remember the first time we went through and they launched the network down the hall. We were in New Orleans. Bogus, open up your mic real quick. So I'm doing the morning show. Me and Teak, we just start things up, right? Yeah. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm probably have one of the better contracts at the network. I don't want to sound like a jerk. Yeah. And I was a team building thing, and I'm like, meanwhile, I was absolutely sloshed, man.
Confirmed.
I bumped into Olivero that night. He must have been saying, wow, I brought this guy back from, you know, what is it? So I'm like, yeah, you know, let me get the bill. Like, Bilotti was there. Bogus was there. Tiki actually wasn't there. My wife was there. Dana was there. There was 15, 20 people. Martel, 20 people, right? It was a massive group of people.
You picked up the bill. And people were coming and going, too. I got there at the end of it. So I think I only had one hurricane, not like the five. Man. So people were like, I only owe this. People were like, I owe that. It's the worst thing in the world, splitting a bill.
I think the bill was like $1,400.
And you took it on?
I did. I didn't know it was. Well, my wife didn't like it. I mean,
she did not. Yeah. Also confirmed.
I mean, she wasn't on me all night. Otherwise, like, she's not like that. Yeah. She's just like, what are you doing, man? Come on, son. That's a little bit much there. It is the right thing to do. Now, that, unlike the dinner that you will reciprocate, was never reciprocated for me.
Well, you can't expect that in that spot.
Because the network was cheap back then, and nobody took care of you. Hopefully, you do the right thing.
That was our one and only trip.
But you already say, to be fair to Pete Brown, I don't think he's expecting a reciprocation here, but I do feel that obligation. And
do it because you want to have fun.
You didn't do it because you felt that.
No obligation. I wanted to be kind of a team builder, kind of a team leader. That's I'm thinking quarterback, new network, our first Super Bowl. Let me get everybody on the same page. And, you know, and then I got screwed.
BT and Sal on the fan.
With the bill, not the network.
Come back. We'll reset. Down with the King topic of the day, 888-808-1019. Talking Jets, Giants, trade deadline.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.